Okay, so we're talking about joy comes.
Hallelujah.
Joy comes, praise God. I'm not too very good with protocols, so I hope I've observed all the necessary protocols. I'm not too good with that. God help me. Praise God, you know. But I remember even right now, my husband, so very supportive, you know. You know, people think that, oh, women of God, when we come up, we just have to say, oh, I thank God for my husband and all that. I don't do it out of because people are doing it.
That's right.
I do it because it's very genuine. He's in Canada right now, this weekend, ministering. So, and he still took time to, you know, call me and, you know, just speak a word and encourage, and also to tweet and let people know that they need to be at this meeting. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You will not lose your joy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
People that come into your life, they will enhance God's joy in your
Amen.
Life. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Joy comes. Hallelujah. And you know, people can easily complete that. That joy comes in the morning. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. So we've prayed already. Amen. Because some people are still waiting. When is she going to pray? Then we're now going to the word. If you are used to me by now, I just start talking, I just start flowing. Praise God. There really isn't a beginning or an end. Amen. We prayed before coming. God is here. His presence is here. So we're just going to flow. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 30 says, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Aren't you glad that his favor is for life?
Yes.
Which one do you want to take? The one that is for life or the one that is for a moment? He says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And some other translations, we say joy comes with the morning. Whether in the morning or with the morning, there's something about the morning. Morning talks about light, daylight. Morning talks about hope. Because when you wake up in the morning, you are hopeful that this will be a brand new day. Something new can happen. Anything can happen. So the breaking of day speaks of hope, no matter your situation. Deep down in your heart, you kind of feel that you have an expectation that something can happen because it's a new day, it's a new chapter, praise God. The sun rose this morning, and you know that God made his covenant with David, and he has that covenant with us too, that as long as there is day and night, he will not keep his love from you.
Amen.
He won't break his covenant as long as there is night and there is day. So anytime that you see the sun rise, just know that there is joy within that day.
Yeah.
And what I realized as, you know, I began to prepare for this meeting, I thought it would go in a particular direction, but then God began to even show me some things, even just between yesterday and today, about this whole thing of joy. Joy. He said, intimacy births joy. He said, intimacy births joy. I didn't really see that way, but I saw that it was true. He said, without intimacy, there will be no lasting joy. No lasting joy without intimacy. You know, many times we wake up in the morning and we pray. This is not about praying or talking to God at a particular time of the day. But many times when we wake up in the morning. That's the first thing we want to do. We want to just get into his presence. Amen. It's not like you were not in his presence when you were sleeping. Amen. Because I understand that angels surround me.
Amen.
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 Not demon, not witches. You need to be conscious that angels surround you.
Amen.
Whether you saw yourself, what do people see in the night? Whether somebody was pressing you down or whatever. You need to be conscious that angels surround you. But you see, when we wake up, we want to be conscious of God's presence. We want to feel it because it's the breaking of day. So the daytime is synonymous with joy, praise God. And he says an intimacy. So in his presence, he says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. That's from Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I'm preaching and we're still preaching. There's something I wanted to do earlier about the drama. Praise God. And you know, I told you I'm a very funny person, no protocols. Because I wanted to appreciate the lady for that drama. Praise God. I know she had been appreciated already, but especially I knew I would still come to her. Because when she began to dramatize, and especially when she began to speak or preach, I said, well, now she's preaching my message. So maybe I don't even have to go there anymore. Amen. And I wanted to say that's a great gift to the body of Christ. So just meeting her for the first time. So if you are led, invite her to your things or whatever. I'm not soliciting for anybody. But that, she preached a message. Yeah. A one man, or should I say one woman, riot squad. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. But I'll still come to that. Because that was the message the Lord gave me. But I was telling the Lord, I was struggling with it because the very first seminar, so that's, well, the first one in London, but the second one, because the first one was held in Scotland, and I think this is the fourth one now. Yeah. My people remind me, fourth? Okay. The first one we had right here in London, in this very venue, that was, we dealt with the woman by the well. We dealt with that area. That topic, that theme. And the Lord was quickening that again in my mind. And I'll say that, but that was preached. I preached that like 2-3 years ago. But I just put some things down. And so when she began to preach it, I said, Lord, she's the one that is in the spirit. Praise God. All I know is that you will not go back the same. God loves us so much that he wants to remind us of certain things. He wants us to teach us things. But I know that for many of us, it's just going to be reminders to go deeper with him. So he says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And many times I quote that scripture too. Oh, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy, you know, and all of that. And I did realize that, oh, joy comes. Amen. And so he says that without his presence, no lasting joy. I said, oh, okay. So we have to be intimate with him. We've got to have his presence all the time. We have to know that we have his presence. And you know, he says also that you draw on joy by faith. Was saying these things in my heart, but I was wondering, okay, where is the scripture? You know how you tell God, give me scripture? It's not like you are doubting him. But we draw on joy by faith. When there seems to be nothing joyful about, then we draw on joy by faith, because faith comes by hearing the word. And so he says that you draw on, that joy is a faith thing. I was like, wow, God, okay, teach me more. So joy is not about circumstances. Joy is not like when I just got money when I needed it. So joy is not my wedding day. Yes, but he says lasting joy, that our joy must be rooted in him, must be rooted in his presence. Stay with me, because this is what he was teaching me. He says you draw on joy by faith when there seems to be nothing joyful about. It's not that there's nothing joyful about. That's why it says we should sit down and count our blessings. Yeah. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Especially when you are going through hard times. Because it's a time to sit down and look at the good things in your life. Because you remember, oh, God, see what I'm going through. And that's how last year I went through. I said, oh, it's because you even have a good memory. That's why you can even remember the things you went through last year and you went through now. Hey, sister, it's because you're in your right mind. Because if you are mentally off, you won't even remember. Or maybe the mentally derailed person should be the joyful one. And many times they are because they don't even have memory of how they are. So they act joyful sometimes. And like the dramatist says, sometimes you will try to get the joy from drinking. People are looking for joy, so they think it's from drinking. So they drink so that they can forget their sorrows and be happy, because when they remember their sorrows, they are not happy. But God is saying that he doesn't want our joy to be seasonal. Yes, he wants our joy to be full. Yes. Many times in the Bible, so many scriptures, it says, ask that your joy may be full. Ask that your joy may be full. It also says that it will make you, the barren woman, to be a joyful mother of children. So I realize that you should be joyful before the children come. Hello, because if I was a child, not yet conceived, in the seed form, in the mind of God, and the whole thing had not happened, I want to go to the joyful person. Please, God, don't send me to that woman's womb. Ah, Father. So to be a joyful mother of children, be joyful first, that the children will come. Excuse me, even when you are joyful, then the children come. There are times when your joy is not full. I won't go there now. Praise God. Hallelujah. There are times with them when your joy is not full. Just like God, we are parents as well. Sometimes our anger is for a moment, and let it be momentary, and your favor is for life. Praise God. So because your child is your child, so your child is favored. But there are sometimes the child feels, I'm not favored, because they are scolding me right now. You say, yes, it's momentary. But I love you is the last love, but you've done something wrong and I'm not happy with you. So must the child base his or her perception of you on the temporary? Because today, mommy was angry with me or daddy was angry. Should the child now conclude that mommy is an angry mommy? God is an angry God. When you are telling that child that this is even based on the love that I have for you, it's because God loves us that he chastises us, that he corrects us. There's already a foundation of love. And when you don't understand God's love, you won't even understand joy. Someone here said, I think yesterday or so, I think I saw it on your DP or whatever, they said, something about bringing the message of love and joy. Praise God. Because I've been known for preaching love, 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 love. But you see, the love and the joy, they go hand together, hand in hand. Because we must understand that God loves us. Our lives must be rooted in his love. Praise God. And he wants us to have joy. Look, the joy is not just a joy that comes. So please, sorry about the title. Praise God. That is not just about joy coming into your life. God had settled the joy issue a long time ago. Again, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, let me not jump things. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You will draw water from the wells of salvation. That woman came to draw water. And she said, I don't want to come and be drawing water each time because I'm thirsty. And Jesus said, I will give you the water of life. Amen. And we know the rest of the story. It's here, John chapter 4, 7 to 12. She's already said it in the drama. Give me a drink, and you know the argument, everything was going back and forth because she thought she knew. But she was really talking to the giver of life, the giver of joy, the giver of the water, the one that causes us to flourish and to never run dry. And so she found her lasting joy. Every other joy or happiness or was based on her happenings. If the man was okay, she was fine. The moment he began to misbehave, she said, I'm out of here. So you know the story, when Jesus came again, she thought, okay, this is one of them. If at this time I'm ready for you. I don't want to go too much down that path, but that's the story that he wants us to reflect on again. Maybe because of somebody here or somebody watching by live streaming at this time. And she was like, yeah, I know your type. Bring it on. I have my answers ready for you. Because she thought he was a toaster. Again, because he looked every month like every other man there, out there. Praise God. I thank God for Jesus. Amen. Such a real, when he was on earth. Because you see, if he was very, very different, she should have known from the moment, holy prophet, let me just be going. But he looked pretty much like any other man. Hallelujah. Oh God, thank God for this joyful God. Amen. Amen. He looked pretty much. It was when he began to say things to her that she saw that he was different. He was telling her things that only she knew about herself. That's when she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Actually, you are different. Then she calmed down. If not, she was ready. He said one, she said five. I will deal with your type. In fact, she had become bitter with men. So men are even just coming jelly. They just want to be your friend. Let me, please, any man that is listening, please, I want you to know that such women have been hurt. Yeah. Not by you, but maybe like someone like you before. So be patient. And some people are even already married, and the husband, who is a good man, is even suffering from the baggage of the man that hurt her. Or even maybe her father that hurt her or didn't handle her well. The man that is married is wondering, I'm just trying to help you. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. This man is not like the man that has hurt you before. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So what happened in this story was that Jesus, of course, we heard it. He introduced himself to her. He brought joy into her life. Before, her joy was not lasting. It was on and off. If the man was okay, fine. But this, he brought lasting joy into our life. May we know that lasting joy in Jesus' name. May our joy be full. May it be permanent,
Amen.
Irrespective of happenings.
Amen.
This, as I was preparing for this also challenged me to really live out this joy walk to the full. Because joy is contagious. It is contagious. Other people can be inspired by it. and make up their mind to walk in joy. Especially after they've discovered that it's not like everything is perfect in your life. That's why you're so joyful. But because you have made up your mind to be joyful. Tell your neighbor, I've made up my mind that I will walk in joy. You see, you have no choice but to walk in joy. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 5. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. Ah, when God gave me that one, I said, okay. Okay, Lord, joy comes indeed. He says, count it all joy. You know how I said that you have to draw the joy by faith? He says, count it all joy. That means God is saying that even, he says, when you fall into various trials, he says, count it as joy. So that means we can't escape this joy thing. He's saying that whether things look good or not, be joyful. So it looks as if when things are good, our joy is fuller. When things don't look good, we should still be walking in joy. So that joy is even the least he expects of us. That we have to switch into the spirit if we are not in the spirit already. Concerning what is happening to us. Even if we have just lost someone dear to us. And I know that it's a tough thing to lose someone close to you. But he says that he's the comforter. Praise God. So at that point in time, we're supposed to switch into a higher dimension. Say, Lord, I'm struggling with joy right now. But I tap into the joy that you give. Amen. Amen. It's because you are alive that you are feeling the pain of the loss of that person. Hello. The person that has gone, especially if the person was a believer, the person has moved into fullness. If there's something more than fullness of joy, the person has moved to that level. I don't know why I'm even talking this way. Because, again, you know, it says that when Christians pass on, we should not grieve. Yeah. But you know, many times we grieve for ourselves, not for the person. Because the person has gone to everlasting enjoyment. Praise God. Some people tell me I talk about heaven too much. One time, some years ago, one lady slowed me down. She said, you know, the devil can use it to now take you home quick. I said, you can't take my life before time. Praise God. Because it's a real place. Amen. What is in this world? Stress. Even the most wealthiest, the most whatever, there's still small stress. There's still small stress in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is no way. Do you know that all our lives, we're always trying to beat that stress. To find more comfort. I'm tired of traveling economy. Now you feel fly first class. You are tired of that. You want to have your own private charter jet. I always tell my husband, I say, well, thank God for jet. If God brings it, fine. But it's still in the air. Yes. Air is air. No place like my bed on ground. If you like, make the bed in the plane as flat as ever. First class, more than just make it, you know, everything, let it be. Because they're trying to make it as comfortable as possible. I say, there's nothing like on the ground. God forbid, if the plane comes down, whether you're an economy coach or first class, or down your but you better be ready for the upward journey. God forbid, if you hit down, the next moment, you find yourself where you are. But it will not happen before time in Jesus' name for you. But one day it will happen to us all. Praise God. Whether we go to be with him or he comes to be with us, to take us, right? The important thing is to end up being with him. Praise God. And we have to rehearse for the joy that we're going to enjoy in heaven. Because if not, some people will just faint and say, ah, I should have been practicing this joy on earth. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Joy is good. As I look at a brother right now, remember the name of his company is Sound Joy or something. True joy. Praise God. True joy. Hallelujah. Wow. I thank God for this message. I thank God because it's taking me into a deeper level. Praise God. It's taking me to a deeper level. You know, many of us, like me many years ago, happy today, not happy tomorrow, just flowing with the circumstances. You know, husband is doing well. By our standards, you know, we have our standards. Whether he's doing well or not, you're happy. Does something you don't like or omits, forget to do something, your joy goes down. Why? Is it the giver of your true joy? Is it the author and finisher of your faith? Is it the author and finisher of your joy? Praise God.
Praise God. It can come in addition. Other people can come in your life to add to the joy, but the joy should be there. Yes. So now my joy is rooted in the work of Christ on the cross. Many times we don't think enough. When we think about it, that someone laid down his life for me, why should I be sad for a moment? Yes. And any moment we are sad, Satan has gotten that time. Of course, he knows he won't have a full time because he knows after a while you're going to come to a seminar like this, read a book, listen to a message, and your joy will be restored. And say, why was I doing all that? But for the 5 minutes, 5 hours that you were angry or sad or not walking in joy, he's feeling like, yes, let's keep her there for a while, you know, before she remembers again that God loves her. Praise God. But I've made up my mind permanently. I'm going to walk in joy. I'm going to walk in joy. So joy is something that you train yourself to have. You train yourself to receive because he has given us. Satan is the one that steals our joy. The joy is there. It says in Isaiah 60 verse 15, it says, you are an eternal joy. You are an eternal excellence and a joy of many generations. The previous verse even says that maybe no man came through you and stuff like that. He was talking about, maybe it hasn't happened for you the way you expect. But he said, but you are an eternal excellence and a joy of many generations. So if you're a joy of many generations and you're supposed to be a distributor of joy, when will you begin to walk in joy? If you are supposed to be giving out joy, when will you begin to walk in joy? And for that joy to be constant, praise God. Not for people to think, I don't know what mood she'll be in now, so let me know whether I should go to her, approach her for some encouragement, advice, because we don't know. God, help me. Maybe I'll meet her in one of our joyful moments. It should be like night or day, anytime, tea. I know I'll meet her on the frequency of God. And that's how I want to be. I'm telling you, this message, I'm preaching it to myself as well. After now, not only love is my message, this joy thing, we're going to do it together. I'm telling you, because there are too many sad people around. We are too sad too often. And you know what? Opportunity for sadness will always come. Yeah. It's not a curse. You are blessed with joy in Jesus' name. Yeah. But opportunity will always come because there will always be. You see, you can live here now and go out there, it starts to rain, or go out there, someone offends you, and then you not get angry. What's the point? We've got to hold on to it tenaciously. I say, devil, we've got to tell him that enough is enough. You can't cheat me again.
That's right.
You won't cheat me again. Because when I realize these tricks, a few times I still, fall into that. But when you realize that it's actually a trick, when he sees a pattern with you, then he wants to continue. Yeah. But when he sees that no matter what happens to you, the joy is solid, you'll go and look for those he can torment. Hallelujah. Joy is key. I've seen this now more than ever before. So say to your neighbor, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
I will walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And that brings me to the next one. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the spirit is love, joy. It was as if I was just reading my Bible again. Because many of these scriptures, we know it, we quote it. And I've dwelt on love so much. So much. And love is key. It's so important. It's the foundation of everything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But God gave him joyfully to us. Hey, thank you, Lord. Joyfully. With patience, with long suffering. And he didn't give him grudgingly.
Yeah.
So many scriptures. God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
That means joyful giver. Don't just give, but do it joyfully. Joy is key. So when I read it, you know how you can just say, okay, fruit of the spirit, love, joy, patience. But you know, sometimes we don't even quote it in the order. But when I opened it, let me not just take it for granted. After love is joy. I'm not 9 fruit of the spirit, and I'm not saying that one is more important than the other, but after love, the next one is joy. And then peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. They are all good. There's none that should be missing in our life. In our lives. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it says, against such there is no law. And those who have those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. So to walk in the Spirit is to be joyful. To be joyful. If you see a Christian with a long face or anyone with a long face, it means that the person has a long way to go. We are to walk in joy. We are to walk in joy because we have the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation, we should not lose it. Praise God. There is the joy of motherhood. There is the joy of promotion, joy of new shoes, whatever. Some people call it happiness. I don't want to go into defining stuff because I just like to help. The time is short and let's just do it the practical way. We could define happiness from joy. Oh, happiness is based on happiness, but joy is the one that the one God gives. And we don't have to define all that. But the thing is that true, happiness based on happiness, and there's nothing wrong in that. Great things will happen to you in Jesus' name. Good things will happen in the name of Jesus. And our joy will be full because he says, ask that your joy may be full. That is fuller joy on top of the joy that is already there. Praise God. Sadness is not permitted for anyone in the name of Jesus. So if joy is a fruit of the Spirit, then joy has come. Praise God. Then joy is here. I'm an embodiment of joy. You're an embodiment of joy because that's the fruit of the Spirit. And he says we should walk in the Spirit. We should grow the fruit of the Spirit. So we are to grow in these things, grow in love, grow in joy. When we fall short, we should ask God for grace again. Lord, help me. I know I was not joyful that moment. I did not manifest joy. I manifested anger or sadness, but Lord, I thank you. Because all that you've done for me already, Father, is enough to be joyful about. And you know that the things that God has not done, or the things you are waiting for God to do, it's not an excuse not to walk in joy. Because he says in trials, count it as joy. No, think about it. He said, count as joy. There's a reason why he would say, he says, in my own language, not according to the world. God says, count it as joy. The world will say, count it as sadness because you lost your job yesterday. Because that thing failed yesterday that you put your hand upon. But God is saying, you. Through James, he said, my brethren, and he's saying this to Christians because they're the ones that have the capacity for this. To someone who is not a believer, you can't really say count it all joy because where is the joy? Where is the basis for that? What they need is to receive Jesus first and receive that joy. So he says, count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's the testing of your faith. The loss of your joy, the devil wanting to steal your joy through that circumstance of that or that situation is a testing of your faith. So you see how faith and joy are interrelated again. It produces patience. And it says, let patience have its perfect work. Let patience have long suffering in you that you may be complete and lack nothing. So it's almost as if he's saying that from one thing to the other, from joy to patience to goodness to long suffering. In short, it is the maturing of the fruit of the Spirit in us. So if we cut it short and say, I'm not going to be joyful about this. I have every reason to be sad and everything. You have just missed an opportunity for growth, especially for spiritual growth. And many of us, when things have, over the years, when we look back in our Christian walk, maybe even working with God for 5 years, 10 years, or whatever, you look back and you went through, there's certain things you went through, and you look at yourself now, sometimes you're able to say, I thank God that God didn't give me that time. Like my husband and I like to say, because for many years, many people know his story. He tried to travel, to go and preach, to go and just travel abroad. The doors were not opening, and the church was still very young then. The first 1 to 3 years of the church, and he wanted to close down the church and just go with the teaching gifts. Travel around the world. Friends will invite him from here, London. Every time he goes for an interview, bam, refusal. But today, begging for the traveling to the doors have opened wide. That is more like saying, I travel so much, I'm tired. When you ask God for something, but we look back now and sometimes just laugh and say, thank God he didn't open the door that time. Thank God he didn't open the door. Thank God he didn't open it, because if he had opened it or you forced it open prematurely, it won't be sweet like it is today. So you are forced to grow what he wanted you to grow. To sit down with that work that didn't look beautiful, force it to grow, Then many years later, when you open the door, then they are referring to that work that you sat down with that has now begun to grow as a reference point for the open doors. I said, we want what you have. That thing you have grown back home, come and share with us how you did it. So if the doors open, you have been prematurely. Maybe they have opened and closed again. Because we've had enough of this man coming to preach now. Go back and sit with your work or whatever, you know. So, but God is he's a loving God. We need to have confidence that he loves us. That if he's promised us anything, he will bring it to pass. Except if he has not promised you. And that's why you have to get revelation. When I was reading that as Psalm 30 verse 5, I saw it again in another way. I was sharing with my sister during the week that this Psalm 35, it's angers by a moment, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I said, this was Psalmist David's revelation. So I began to look at it in another way. And we claim it. Thank God, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So it's something to hope for that. This is morning. Things are going to be different. It's a day of hope. But David, what he was saying was that he was weeping about something. There was something that he was, maybe something sad about or something going on in his life, and he wept. And then there was a change. It may not have been a physical mourning like the next morning, but when the change came, he classified that season of his life as mourning. Now, when I read this, again, I looked at it and said, this is his revelation concerning joy, concerning God. What is your own revelation? What is your own revelation? And so, really, you hold on to whatever God has promised you. If God has promised you something, he will do it. He will do it in his own time. And if there's something you want and you don't have, find out if he even wants you to have it in the first place. Because not having it may just be what, is planned for you. Not having it in this season, you need to first find out, Lord, is this in your promise for me? If it is, then it's yours. Claim it and wait for it. And while waiting, walk in joy. Because he's already said, when we have trials, we should walk in joy. And these trials many times come to show the magnitude of God.
Yes.
They come to show the mightiness of God. They come to show how great he is. They reveal so many things. It says, when you pass through fire, thank him that you are not burned.
Amen.
And you went through the waters that you are not drowned. But you think that we will not pass through things? If we don't pass through things, then people won't believe that we have joy. How will we be differentiated as Christians? Because it will be like, that was what the devil, when Job was an experiment between Satan and God. He went to God and said, yes, this is your man, Job. Of course, God asked him, or was it then or in another place? What are you up to? Say, going to and fro the earth, looking for people to deal with. That's his ministry, looking for people to steal from. And the first thing he wants to steal is our peace and our joy. Many times he doesn't come after your car. Come after your house or whatever. First of all, he wants to steal your joy.
Yeah.
He wants to steal. So it's a matter of what can rattle you, what can upset you. For you, it may be car. For you, it may be something else. He comes sometimes even against the health of our bodies. Because he already knows that if I do something to our house, now she's already so solid that she will just shake it off and say, the God that brought that one, bring another one. This is in level, but if I touch one area, and for many of us, especially mothers, the devil knows that, just touch one of my children, you will see my red. But even that too, we are to be solid in God, because God allowed those children to be born. He brought them and is able to sustain them. Praise God. So, joy, joy, joy. Count it joy when you fall through trials. And at the end of the day, he says, you'll be complete, lacking nothing. What I see is that at the end of the day, God will perfect and bring a change in that which we're asking him for, or that change that we're waiting for. But at the end of the day, we'll not only have that, but we'll also have grown in the fruit of the Spirit. We'll have matured. Many people will have been ministered to. And our lives would have been richer. Maybe that's why sometimes we don't ask for it now. 2 days later, we get it. Maybe 2 years after, that's when we get it. Because the 2 years after, we'll get it, but we'd have gotten so many other things. Yeah. We'd have discovered ourselves. We'd have discovered love. We'd have discovered so many things. Some of us may be going through serious trials. And in that process, you discover how loved you are. Ah, maybe you have said before, people don't really like me. I don't have friends. And because you are going through what, you now begin to see how people suffer. And you're like, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Oh, so it took an issue for me to really see that you had really put this in people for me. Lord, I just thank you. So many things are discovered in the process. So I think the important thing is to just enjoy the journey with God. To just flow with him. To just flow with him. Now, Lord, sometimes I don't understand what you're doing. And sometimes it may not be him doing it. It may just be the devil out there. And he permits it for a moment. So back to the story of Job, that he was just an experiment because God was even the one that started it, but again, maybe he didn't know. Well, God knows all things, but he didn't plan for Satan to go down that road. He was just like, ah, have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen my son Job? God was just bragging about him. He's solid. So his faith in me, I know. I love all my children. I love them all equally, but this one, he's solid. And Satan just said, oh, yeah, fine. I just said, solid. Because of all that you have surrounded him with, the wealth. You know, Job was said to be the richest man in the East, then the richest, as of in his own season, he was the wealthiest. And he had children, like 7 kids, and, you know, and he was just wealthy. And he loved God and served God. So the devil said, Satan said, because you have surrounded him with all good things. I will not serve someone that, well, I don't think Satan said that because he had everything, but he still rebelled against God. But then it's sweet. It will be sweet. Remove some of those things. You will see how he will so turn against from you, turn away from you. And God, he just had to take the challenge. Because if he didn't, then Satan will say, hey, you are not confident on him. If you are confident on him, let me remove those things from him. And let's see if he will still serve you. Ah, God was like, okay, go ahead. Because if he does not allow, Satan will say that God is being partial, that you are not really confident of him. And so then Satan began to touch him. Amen. may he not deal with us that way. It was just too much. But the Bible says in all of these things, Job did not curse God. Because what Satan was looking for was not for Job to break down and cry. And he could cry, turn around, cry today and say, God, but why are you doing this to me? But you are still God. You are still, because he thought it was God doing it to him. And that's why he said, the Lord gives and takes. Blessed be the name of the God. And we quote it many times. Sometimes we don't need to quote it because it's not God that takes. Yeah. But he thought it was God that was taken from him. He thought it was God that took his children. Killed all his children in one day. After taking his wealth, killed his children, took his health till he was skin and bones. And he was like, God, why are you doing this to me? And God is trying to say, it's not me. You are an experiment. We are trying to prove something here. Hang on, it will soon be over.
Amen. Ah!
He was the one chosen. He was the one chosen. He was the one chosen to show to God in that dimension. It wasn't God's plan that he should suffer that much. God was bragging about him.
Yeah.
God was so impressed with him. So, but God said the deal here is that, okay, you can take everything, but you can't take his life. Because if you take his life, he won't live to glorify me. Or glorify the devil, God forbid. Because, you know, at the end of the contest, the man must stand and say, I want to follow Satan. This God, he doesn't pay to serve him. Do you understand? But he didn't do that. But that's what Satan wanted. Tempting him. Now that all your children are gone, let me take you to this Babalawo herbalist. He will restore it. Let me, you know, trying to win it. So at the end of the day, Satan will now say, God, yay, he's with me now. So you can't take his life, because how will he testify?
Yeah.
So that was the only thing God said. Take everything, but you can't take his life. So it was, that was all that was left. His health was taken, everything. Everything was taken. But we thank God. We thank God. Even his wife that held on. So she had done so well. It came to a point that was like, you know what? Just curse God and die. Because this suffering is too much. Because she felt if she cursed God, then he would die and that would be the end of the day. But he did not. He did not. He did not understand, but he held on. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Praise God. I really haven't seen someone, we've gone through temptations, but to that level of magnitude, I think that day the devil knew he lost it. Yes, he lost it. Praise God. He lost it. And that's why when he started with Jesus, when Jesus was, you know, on the mountain, he had prayed and fasted for 40 days and he came and said, turn these stones to bread. I know you are hungry. Of course, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus knew this was not God. This was Satan tempting him, like Job that thought this was God. If not, Job would have said, Satan, I rebuke you. Get out of my life. But he was begging God, and God was saying, it's not me. Someone else brought it on you. But I had to allow, because there's something going on here. So by that time, Satan knew better. Turn this on, men shall not live by bread again. Oh. He said another thing. Jump from here, he will give his angels charge. By the time he tempted him the third time, you know, the Bible said Satan left him for a season. Yes. And now that's how we deal with all, because Christ is in us, the greater one. Then he goes to find somebody else who will fall for his, you know, nonsense tricks. Praise God. And so with God solid in us, with his joy resolving in our hearts, we are solid and we cannot be shaken. Praise God. And the devil knows that you cannot be shaken because you've told yourself he is a good God. Job said, though he slay me, I will yet praise him. But he thought it was God that was slaying him. But it was not God. How much more you that you know when you are going through stuff? You know it's Satan. Praise God. And you know you can rebuke him. But he even thought he was God. And he said, though he slay me, I will yet praise him. He's a good God. Mm-mm. Nothing will force me to say he's a terrible God. Oh, yes. Nothing will force me to curse him. Yes. Because he's a good God. Yes. Praise God. And he can do with me as he wills. Because I'm the clay and he's the potter. But we know better today that God wants to do good with us. He wants to do good with us. And that's why he said, even in the midst of trials, I'm still doing good with you. So count it all joy, because it's still going to be joy at the end of the day. Your joy is still going to be full at the end of the day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so that's it. With joy, we draw water from the wells of salvation. It's a faith thing. It's a faith walk. Hallelujah. It's a faith walk. Joy is not a function of happenings or circumstances. It's a function of how much you allow the Spirit of God to take control. Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, and I'll probably close on that. Isaiah chapter 61, 1 to 3. And Jesus also quoted that in Luke chapter 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise God. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. When we walk in joy, he is glorified. So he says that, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to give the oil of joy. Jesus quoted Isaiah in Luke, and he said, this scripture is about me, and I have come to fulfill it. And there are many aspects of this scripture that the Lord always speaks to me about. And many times I hold on to give beauty for ashes, but I also receive that grace to give the oil of joy. You know, I said earlier on that the joy must be contagious. Yes, because we carry Jesus on us, in us. We are his followers. We are children of God, and we are to manifest like him. So we can give oil. We can give joy. We can give beauty. We can do things that will add beauty to people's lives, that will add joy to their lives. If people are mourning, bring an encouraging word. Bring something that will make them joyful. Bring something that will make it better. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We had a wonderful time here. And in the praise and the worship, praise God. Those people, Lara and Tim, they are anointed to do that. Praise God. And we come and we flow in that. Praise God. We put on the garment of praise. But what I'm saying is that not just for that time, that even as we walk out here, let the garment be firmly on you. Amen. The devil will want to take it away. Anytime we come into God's presence, we're like, ah, yes, Lord, I put on the garment of praise. Every sadness and sorrow, I'm not going to think about it. I put it aside. But when we leave that presence, we now remove the garment and we are now going. But it says, instead of a heavy spirit, put on the garment of praise. That means it's supposed to be permanently on us. The garment of praise is supposed to be a permanent garment. I like God. He always uses things. He uses, because we like clothes, he uses to describe even the armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Shoe. Ah, shoe. Sisters. So as you are buying your shoes, remember the gospel. God is just such an interesting God. Interesting God. Sometimes you compare us to animals. Say, ants, sea ants. As tiny as it is, hardworking. You, full-bodied and everything. Spider is so frail, yet you get into the king's palace. That's wisdom. You are still shaking, and I said you will stand before kings. If you are diligent in your business, how can spider get into the palace? Where did he get the courage not to be afraid that will be trampled upon? Say, be like the eagle, not like the ostrich. That will train our young. Not like the ostrich that will bury the head in the ground. God is such a humorous God. Now he's using clothing. Because you know, especially us women, garment. You want to say you don't know garments? How can you forget scripture when you are dressing up? When he says that when we are in his presence, it's like the mirror. As you look at yourself and you say, like, don't forget who you are. You look at yourself, you go to work. Don't forget who you are, what you look like, and go and be fighting. In God's presence, we mirror his image. Praise God. These are things that we deal with every day. So, garment of praise, can't be. Whether in church or not, hallelujah. Amen. Singing a song under your breath, praise God. Amen. Even though you may say, oh, in this country or wherever you live or whatever, that, oh, we are not allowed to expressly, you know, shout Christ. And be, but you can be singing in your mind. You can be singing a song. You can be, you know, putting on the garment of praise. The sadness wants to come. Say, this garment is a lie. I'm going to leave it intact. And the garment of praise is the garment of joy. Hallelujah. It is the garment of joy. May our joy not run dry. May it be intact. May our joy be full. In the name of Jesus. That even if we have come today, whatever represents an issue in our life, whatever it is, we're still trusting God for. That area of pain that I pray today, that your joy will be full. That you will have joy upon joy in the name of Jesus. Because it says that you are a joy of many generations. Let people see you and see you coming and say, my joy has come. She's the one coming there. I know that there's something for me. I know that she will leave me. I know that he will leave me in a better position than I was. Yes, I know I'm all sad. I know you might be sad about something, and depending on who you talk to, you talk to some people and you're even worse at the end of it. You're like, why did I even call them? And God was like, call me. My number is never busy. And then you call them and they say, all that, now wow, you are going through. No, always have an encouraging word in your mouth so that the person can go from joy to joy, from sadness to joy. If you're sad, it should be temporary. It shouldn't be a permanent thing. When you think about the cross, you should say, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And I want to pray for those who might be mourning or going through something really, really adverse. Like maybe you really lost a loved one. Maybe there's someone out there even watching. Maybe you even lost a child because that pain is very deep. And I pray that the oil of joy will be ministered to you. Amen. That you will receive the oil of joy from his presence in the name of Jesus. The one that he gives, the one that man cannot give. Man cannot give you. They can come say sorry or whatever, but they can't take care of what has happened. But the one that comes from the very presence of God, that what things that we don't understand, that later on, good will come out of it. He's a profiting God. He never wastes our pain. few years down the line, something good will come out of it. Something good will come out of it. There will be restoration. The restoration may not be in the form of another child. It could be in the form of another child. It could be in the form of twins. It could be like, okay, you're too old to have children. It could be in the form of you now have many children. You now have an orphanage. You now have a ministry to young people. Whatever you lost. If that thing was a good thing, like a good person, child or whatever, the life of that person will speak forever. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And will raise up many more. Yes. God knows how to do these things. But when we are going through it, we don't understand. But just say, Lord, still give me joy. Let me draw my joy from the wells of your salvation. Let me draw my water from you. So shall it be. Thank you, Father. Father, we just want to thank you for this word that has come, Father. We just rejoice at your word. Yes, you said it. You said, the psalmist said, I rejoice at your word as one that found great spoils. Psalm 116. I rejoice at your word. God wants us to rejoice not only at natural blessings, but as spiritual. No, we rejoice that when you find a revelation, when you find a gem in God's word, when you find something and God quickens your heart that is for you, rejoice in it. Even before you see the physical manifestation. He said, rejoice at my word like one that has found great spoil. Great spoil could mean 10,000 pounds. Great spoil could mean the long-awaited child, long-awaited contract or job. He said, rejoice that way when you find my word. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Teach us more on this joy thing, Father, because it is your very character. The Bible says you rejoice over us with gladness. You rejoice over us. Even when we fall, you pick us up again in your mercy. And you rejoice over us. You showcase us, Father. You say we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, to show forth your praises. Thank you, Father. You called us out of darkness into light. That is enough to be joyful about, Father. Thank you, Father God. That is enough to be joyful about. That we are not wallowing in darkness or in hell. That we have seen the light of day. And we will still have many more revelations. Lord, we rejoice at your word. We rejoice at salvation. Thank you, Lord. We may not know where the next money is coming from or for the next meal, but Father, we rejoice at your word. We rejoice that we have Christ. Will you not with him give us all things that pertain to life and godliness? We rejoice, Father God, because he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace, the punishment for our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Father, we rejoice that we have that word for our healing, Father, that even though we are going through things in our bodies and through issues, whatever the doctor's report is, Father, we rejoice, Father, that we have the promise that he was wounded, he received stripes that we might be healed. Thank you, Father, Lord, that even for those of us that might be going through sicknesses or going through one thing or the other in our body, thank you, Father, because we will be strong in faith. And thank you that even in the process, others will come to you. Other people's faith will be strengthened while you're working out the miracle. Thank you, Father. We love you, Father, because how would we go through these things without you? Father God, that's why our heart goes out to those who don't have Christ. If you are here and you are not born again, you've not received Jesus into your life. Before I go any further, I just want you to wave your hand. Just raise your hand up. I just want to pray with you. I don't want to assume everyone is a Christian. You want to be a Christian today. You want to be a follower of Christ. You want to accept Jesus into your heart. Just raise your hand and let me pray with you. Thank you, Lord. No one right here in this meeting. Maybe someone might be watching by the live streaming or watching on television. If you want to make that decision, just say, Lord, forgive me. I've been a sinner. I've gone my own way. But I ask, come into my heart today. For I believe Jesus died and paid the price for my sins. Come into my heart and into my life today and make me brand new. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord. Whenever I remember that there are people who don't have Jesus in their lives or have Christ, and they are also going through issues and situations, because as long as we are on this earth, there will be stress. There will be situations and circumstances, because it's a sinful world. It's not a perfect world. And I wonder, how are they sorting themselves out? Because I know when I go through stuff, I know how I run into His presence and hold on to Him more than ever before. Who are they and what are they holding on to? No wonder many are suicidal, because they just can't bear it. But we have the Holy Spirit that holds us up, and His word that assures us that it's for a season. And He comforts us on every side. Oh, thank you, Lord. And He puts a song in our mouth, even in the dead of the night. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that through us you will reach out to a dying world. They that do not know you, that do not have a hope of the life after they are gone. That in your mercy, Father, that you will send harvesters, laborers into the fields of harvest in all nations. Disguise us in various ways, O God, for many will not have a pulpit like this. Many will be disguised as students, as workers, in various shapes and forms, whatever posture you ask us to take, to sit where they sat, that we might win them. That we might win them, Father. Break our hearts with that which breaks your heart, Father. That these people might have joy, oh God. Some think is in changing their gender. Changing their gender from male to female, or from female to male. Or possibly trying to be both and thinking they will have joy. But we know it's not in that, Lord. True joy only comes from you, from knowing you, Father. Help them to know that it's not in those places. Thank you, Lord. Use us, Father, to reach out to people in love and in unconventional ways. Help us to go to where they are and reach them with your love and with your contagious joy. Thank you, Father. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. I want to stand with anyone believing God for the fruit of the womb. Anyone believing God for the fruit of the womb, I just feel like standing with you quickly, that the Lord will cause you to birth your children. No, wait. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. It will come to pass that you and your husband or the wife, this couple desire it, it will come to pass. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Your mother gave birth to you, you will give birth to your own children. But make a promise that you will raise godly children even unto Him. Because in the last days, not much time to waste. That you will raise godly children that will be arrows in His mighty hand. Thank you, Father, Lord. Barrenness of every sort is terminated. In the name of Jesus. Visit your people with the oil of joy. Cause their joy to be full. Even today, as we ask for your many blessings, begin to talk to God right now. Thank you, Father. Whatever your own need represents, thank you, Lord. Thank you for fruit of the womb. Thank you for marriage partners. Thank you, Lord. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will grant you the desires of your heart. As you delight yourself, so I see that joy, as you revel in Him, as you delight in God, He says He will grant you the desires of your heart, not as you complain day and night, but He says as you delight yourself in Him. Lord, you are our delight. Begin to download from heaven all that you need, your health, everything that you need, your health. Thank you, Lord. Your children. Thank you, Lord. Their character, their excellence, their grades. They are the head and not the tail. Thank you, Lord. Even if you're a student, you're in school, begin to download His promises. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I delight myself in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Cause us to be the head and not to be the tail. Cause us to lead. Cause us to serve. Thank you, Father, Lord. Cause us to excel, oh God, that people will know truly that We serve a good God and we serve a living God. Let people not question, where is your God? But let them see, rather, I see your God. Take me to your God, Father. Let there be manifestations of glory in our lives, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let people ask, why is it that you are so joyful? Thank you, Father. So joyful. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, Father. Joy, joy. Joy forevermore from your presence. Joy. We make up our minds. Help us by your Spirit to walk in joy all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Sing it, whatever song it is. Sounding so good. Play, play, play. Thank you, Lord. Bodies. If you need healing in your body, maybe just put your hand on your head, on your heart, or raise your hand to heaven, and we're going to stand in agreement at this time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If there's anyone beside you in need of healing, just put your hand on the person, lay your hands. Father, we thank you, Lord. We just sang the song. It says, Lord, you are healer. Our God is healer. Higher than any other. You are awesome in power. Same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you for the finished work on Calvary's cross, that through the stripes of Jesus we have been made whole. Thank you, Lord, that by faith we stand in agreement and we call forth and we declare your healing power even upon those in need of healing in their bodies, in their spirit, and in their emotions, even right now in the name of Jesus. We root out every sickness, whatever name that it might be, whatever name that the doctors have called you. We root out sicknesses and diseases in the name of Jesus. We root out cancer. We root out diabetes. We uproot fibroid in the name of Jesus. We declare in the name of Jesus, even those who are going through medication, those who might be going through right now in the name of Jesus, one form of medication or the other, or surgery, now we declare in Jesus' name that it will work, that the power of God will come upon it and it will work and it will manifest to his glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father Lord, that we will live and not die to declare your glory, Father. We bless you, Father. We thank you because you are a good God. You're a mighty healer. Thank you, Lord. We receive a fresh touch from you, O God. Fresh touch from you. All over this place, all over again. A fresh touch from you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, you are in the house. Jesus, you are in the house. Mighty healer. Thank you. Savior, deliverer. Our eyes are on you. Where men have failed, you will not fail, Father. Thank you, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Take us deeper, Father. Take us deeper, Father. Take us deeper, Father. How many want to be more intimate with God? Not only in times like this, in a place like this, but even in your every waking moment, in your closet, in your car, on the bus, in the tube, just to be intimate with him and to be inseparable. He's my life. We live, we move, we breathe in him, Father. We want to go deeper with him. Take us deeper, Father. We worship you. Do you know that song? Do you know the song, Ocean? Take me deeper than... Let's just sing it. I'm sure if we don't know it, we flow along. Thank you, Jesus. We worship. Please, let's just indulge ourselves in this one more song. Just to be in his presence, Lord.
Hey, you call me out upon the water.
No, it just flow.
The great unknown.
Just flow.
My feet may fail.
I want to go deeper with you, Lord.
And there I find you in the mystery. And oceans deep, my faith will stand.
Say, I will call.
And I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours. And you are mine. Oh. Upon the water, wherever you will. me deeper, deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Spirit. Walk upon the waters wherever you may call us, and take us deeper than our feet could ever wander. Faith will be made stronger in the presence of our Savior.
That we are yours, Lord. Thank you that you are ours and we are yours. Thank you, Lord, that you are mine. Say that. Say, thank you, Lord, that you are mine. And I am yours. And it makes the journey easier. Thank you, Lord. For many of us are in journeys right now that we do not know and we do not understand. But if we can just trust Him and abandon our lives to Him and say, Lord, I don't know where you're leading, but I'm ready to go. To go beyond my comfort zone. To go beyond that which I know. Whether He's sending you to another country or to another place that you're not familiar with. Whether it's just a journey of faith where you've just had to hold out your faith. Your faith is being strengthened. Thank you, Father, because we are in the journey with you. And we worship and adore you. Thank you for joy everlasting that makes the journey of faith easier. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Behind me. Yes, we can delete that other thing, the one we said we would. Yeah, let's leave it out because of time. Aren't you just excited?
Yes.
Yeah, it was just more like, let's have some more time. But you know, you can have this every day in your house, every day, just in God's presence, wherever you are. And it's just a lovely thing. People who don't know Christ, they don't have this, you see. So never ever pity yourself what you are going through. You know, never ever pity yourself. Praise God. Okay, Usola, before I take my seat, I know I said I was just going to take time to appreciate some people. because that's just my custom. Everybody here, you're all special, you're all precious. I appreciate you, Pastor Joke here. Pastor Marjorie, thank you so much. Pastor Bimbola Wale, Pastor Marjorie Osemoye, thank you. Thank you. My people, dear liars, God bless you. Thank you for being here, your lovely daughters. If I didn't mention your name, say, Sister Margaret, wow. Please, celebrate yourself. Praise God. Because I can't mention all names. What do I say about this wonderful team? Because I may not have this opportunity. I'm not the one taking announcements. I just want to appreciate David and his team. Just wave your hand there. If you know your team, David, wave your hand. Because there are people here that he just goes out, he just brings them. He says, they must do this work with me. Praise God. And just the team, I can't mention all your names. Pastor Agatha and everyone, Musola, the entire Real Woman team in London. You know yourselves. Praise God. You make it happen. Thank you for the prayer. This is somewhere where prayer conference works, right? On the phone, we pray on the phone. We pray because they tell me that this is not Nigeria. That people don't always gather face-to-face for prayer, but we can pray on the phone. And it was very interesting for my being, you know, part of that last Thursday. Thank you so much. I love you all. Talk about, you know, I can't mention everybody. Say amen. Tell your neighbor, she likes me too. And she's celebrating me. Uncle Ima, all of you, I love you. God bless you. Okay. Yeah. I know I've overshot my time.